Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and today I'm joined by Christ Fellowship Senior Pastor Bruce Miller, and we are starting a new series, Money with a Mission. We all know that consumerism and materialism are big issues in our culture. So how can we think about the gifts and resources that God gives us in the right way? That's the focus for our next few weeks, and we're starting today. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. We are here. I'm here with Bruce, and we are starting a new series. I love the start of a new series.
New series.
It always feels sort of fresh and new, and we get to talk about something different.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. And you picked a doozy of a topic.
Yes.
You went from sex to money, Bruce.
Yeah. One of the things you should never talk. You know what our church is all about? Our church is all about sex and money. No, it's about Jesus.
It's about hot topics.
Come on.
No.
But if seriously, an objective observer.
Yes.
Of the American culture.
Yes.
What are our biggest issues?
Yes.
How about in the suburbs?
Yes.
What are our biggest issues?
And hey, guess what? If you did, I've never done this, but if you did one of those cool graphs of the Bible, I wonder how much it talks about sex and money. Probably quite a bit. Yeah. It's not like these topics don't come up in the Bible.
It's not like they're obscure.
And you know why they come up in the Bible, Bruce? Because they're sin issues that we deal with.
And
we deal with issues
around
these.
How about getting super practical? What are the big issues in people's marriages?
Yeah.
Oh, sex and money.
Yep. So we're going to...
How about families? How about what divides families?
Yep.
And creates tension and conflict?
So we can't just like take the easy road and not talk about these things.
We want to bring God's word to bear on the real issues in our daily lives.
Right.
And these are real issues in our daily lives.
That's right. Okay, so we are going to spend a few weeks talking about Money with a Mission is the official title of this series. We're kind of talking about two things at the same time. We're talking about money, finances, giving, but we're also talking about being on mission for Christ. And during this season every year, this fall season, we talk about some of our ministry partners and some of the work that we do at Christ Fellowship, that our people do out in the community and out in the world. So this is also a time that we start thinking about what we're going to give for the year as part of our missions offering.
Yeah, I kind of excited about the title. I didn't come up with it, but I really like it. Money with a Mission.
Miss Crystal Yates, y'all.
Was that it? I forgot who did that, but I love that title. And because that's what we want to do. We want to send our money on a mission.
Right.
To make a difference with the money that God gives us. And we're excited about how God uses Christ Fellowship to make a difference in our community and the world. And so once a year, we take 3 or 4 weeks and focus on missions in the community, in the world. And we take an offering that funds all the missions effort of Christ Fellowship for the whole next year, both in the community and in the world.
Yeah. So this is really cool for both in services and this time in the podcast. We're going to have some special guests coming in to talk about their ministries.
And some of our community partners.
Some of our community partners. Also, some of the mission trips we've got coming up. Because I think I highly recommend everybody go on at least one short-term mission trip.
It can be life-changing.
It really can. So that's kind of what's coming up in the series. And then you're going to talk specifically about 3 questions that people ask when it comes specifically to giving to the church.
Yeah, again, I find on this topic that sometimes we still, even though we want to get close to it, we want to dodge it. And I've done this too, and it's not wrong. We want to talk about stewardship broadly, like money and time and effort
talents,
and gifts
yeah.
and talents. Or let's talk about money and including saving and giving and spending responsibly. All that is right. All that's fair. But kind of the dead center, the topic that's hard to talk about is giving itself.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And so I thought, you know what? Let's just go right at it. Let's be courageous. Let's face the issue. And I thought, what are the most obvious questions that I think most everybody asks? Let's just ask the straightforward, flat-footed questions. Why should I give my money? Because if I give my money away, I'll have less money.
Then I have less money.
Why would I give my hard-earned money away? It's my money. And secondly, to whom should I give? Who? My family, Red Cross, the church, good Christian organizations, missionaries, the poor. Who are we supposed to give money to? And then thirdly, how much am I supposed to give? give till it hurts or just enough or what, you know, how much is enough? And so those are the three questions. Why in the world should I give my money? To whom should I give my money or God's money? And how much should I give?
Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to establish that. So let's start with the first question. That's this week. Why should we give? I have about four answers to the question of why we should give.
I know some bad ones.
Some bad obligation. Answers? Oh, okay. Okay, well, we'll come to the negatives in a minute. But I want to see if we how close we are. So I want you to give me four reasons why we should give, and I'll give you mine, and I bet they're the same.
Well, in what I have put together, I actually have a book on this that follows the sermons or goes together.
Yeah, it's in the Engage God Daily, yeah. So you can read it every day.
It's a short little book, but is that it honors God. It makes God happy when we give. It blesses other people to give. So when we give, we get to bless other people. And it brings us joy when we give. It brings
joy
to us.
So you only have three, huh?
I have three.
He's more concise.
You're ahead of me.
Well, yeah, but you're just more concise than I am. Yeah, okay.
And you're going to sub-point mine, so you're going to do.
Yeah, so mine is because God is a giving God.
That's true.
And we are made in his image. So, you know, what's the verse that everybody knows? If even if you're not a Christian, you know what verse? John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." So God is a giving God, and he is a generous God, and we were created in his image. And as Christians, we have committed to following him and to being like him.
That's right.
And so that's one reason is we should be generous because God is generous.
Yeah, I love that.
Second, because everything belongs to him anyway.
It's true.
Everything belongs
to
God anyway.
It's not my money anyway.
It's not my money anyway. And I love this phrase. This, King David, when they, right, the people had given their resources to build the temple. And, but David didn't get to oversee the construction project, but he got to amass the resources. And he responded to the generosity of the people, not with a big thank you to the people, but with a prayer to God. And he says, "But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given only what comes from your hand." Mm. And I love that image because David recognized that in giving to the Lord, neither he nor the Israelites were giving anything that wasn't already God's. And the thing was, what was God going to do with the temple? He was going to give them the gift of his presence. So it's like it was all for their benefit anyway. And so I think we forget that. I think that we think, like you said, it's my money. If I give it away, I have less money. And that keeps us from being generous. So that's my second reason. Also, we should give because giving is a means to advance God's kingdom.
That's right.
It moves forward and it allows us to express other characteristics of God. It allows us to show his mercy when we give to the poor. It allows us to show his goodness, his faithfulness. And then finally, it's because our monies and our possessions have a hold on us. I really think God challenges us in this area because he knows what an idol money can become for us and our possessions can become for us. And it's very freeing to not be trapped, especially in our culture, in the trap of consumerism and materialism. You'll feel so much freer if you don't feel like you have to, because your stuff ultimately owns you.
Yeah, I like your reasons. And I think that last one is so powerful. When we talk about what are the issues in our culture, materialism, consumerism, the ugly word would be greed.
Yeah,
is really there for all of us. And the reality is we live in a wealthier area than most areas of the United States. Far more than most areas in the world. If you look at the average income in McKinney, Collin County, and we've got to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And giving frees us from greed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you think about that, when I'm imagine you as a mom with raising kids to give away their toys is a huge deal as opposed to just accumulating more and more and more stuff. And for high school kids, I've seen when they've gone on a mission trip and they've seen poverty in Mexico or some other area, Peru, Uganda,
Well, and now
it just transforms them.
New Orleans, Austin,
right.
Across the road in East McKinney.
And a lot of children, students, have never been exposed to that.
Right.
Living in a suburban bubble. And it's just shocking in a very good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, we as human beings, we pretend to be rational, but we're a lot less rational than we think we are. I think we're motivated by all kinds of things. And you just think about sort of our culture and our economy really is built on the need for people to continually buy things over and over and over and buy beyond what they need.
So why do you think people don't give? Because statistics show that the an average church our size, about a third of the people gives nothing. Mm-hmm. Zero. Why
is
that?
Two reasons. One is greed.
Okay.
Although I think people tend to think greed is a rich person problem and nobody thinks they're rich.
Right.
And so I think most of us in Collin County would say we're not rich. I mean, we're not Jeff Bezos.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not a billionaire.
We're not a billionaire. So we think we're not rich. But because we always think, we're always comparing ourselves to other people. And there's always going to be somebody who has more money than us.
That's right.
So then we assume that we don't have enough. And so I think it breeds this desire, this insatiable, I mean, greed is an insatiable desire to possess, to have more. And you really can get in the trap. I've been in it myself, or I just feel like I'm not going to be satisfied unless I have this kind of car and this kind of house and these kind of clothes and these kind of vacations. And, you know, I just feel like that's the standard that I must meet in order to find joy.
And it seems like Facebook and Instagram have accelerated that when you can
FOMO.
See. Yes, yes, yes. You see other people's beautiful
cars,
car,
houses,
house, clothes, vacations.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but what happens is, and when you start acquiring some of that stuff is that you find that it doesn't meet those needs. You're still just as hollow as you were before. You know, the most beautiful designer clothes in the world are not going to make you happy. I mean, you may feel good for a time, but, and you just watch your kids. I mean, watch your kids on Christmas morning, right? They play with those toys. They're so excited. And then 2 days later, you ask them what they got for Christmas and they can't even remember.
And I do find another set of people who, and this may be you as you're listening, are so strapped with debt that because of bad choices from before and some things out of your control, you had medical things, you had
lost your job.
Yeah, that just, and now you're strapped, and maybe you've got college debt, you're strapped with enormous debt, and you've got bill collectors after you, you're not making ends meet. Every month you're slipping just a little bit further behind or barely making it. Some months catching up a little, some months not, making the minimum payment on the credit card, sometimes not, paying late fees. How in the world can you give to the church?
Yeah.
So, to that person, what I would say is, so the question is, should I get out of debt first and then give, or should I give before I get out of debt? I get that a lot. And my answer is you should give, but maybe not 10% to start with, but give something. Mm. And I find if you honor God, there's a principle that God honors you. And so I would encourage you, even if you're in a lot of debt and in a tough situation, is give something. It might be very minimal, it might be $10. That you give, but give something, make a sacrifice. And for most people, you look at your life and still, even though things are tight, there's consumerism there. It might be the coffees, the specialty coffees at Starbucks or the cable TV or whatever various services you subscribe to, or maybe selling your car and getting a different kind of car, or even as difficult as changing your housing. But what could you do to address things in your life so that it's not quite so tight?
Yeah.
And quite so, it's just really, you know, who are in that situation, it's really tough when you're in the spot of getting collection notices.
Yeah. And there's a lot of fear there.
Tremendous fear. I say that's another reason people don't give.
Fear makes us ungenerous.
Is fear. And like greed hits every income level. So does fear.
Absolutely.
And so I don't think I've met anyone who said they had enough money.
Right.
And isn't worried, but I have all this money saved, but something could happen to it.
Right.
And I have this investment, but something could happen to it. So I have another investment. So I have insurance. And that thought that you could somehow protect against the future by just having enough money, it's impossible.
Yeah.
And so there's fear at every level of income, which is I can't give money because
I might need it.
I might need it.
And that's not born out of like, I have to have more stuff. It's more out of a genuine concern that I won't have enough.
What if I
won't be able to provide for my family?
What if I lose my job?
I lose my job.
Spouse loses their job.
Yeah. And again, you're not saying don't be wise with your money.
No, yes.
You want to save. You want to pay down your debt. You want to do these things that are wise principles that will make your life better. And free you from having so much anxiety about money. But you're saying that God will honor whatever kind of gift you can give.
And fundamentally, there is joy in giving. And what I want is joy for you.
Yeah.
It's not that I want to take something from you. I want to give you something.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, God doesn't need your money. Church doesn't need your money.
Yeah.
You know, it's you need to give for your own soul's sake,
yeah.
Because it's fundamentally worship of God. Giving is, it's a way to honor God, worship God. It's an obedience to God. And so this funny thought, it's not really funny. It's sort of like super logical. If I have $100 and I give 10, now I only have 90. I have less money. But God's economy just doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's the least will be the greatest and the last will be first, and it's those who give are actually more blessed than those who receive. And I know it's the upside down kingdom, upside down thinking, but it's really true.
Yeah.
It really is more blessed to give than to receive. And God can really do more with you with $90 than with $100.
It's true. And again, the unwrapping the chains of materialism from your soul is going to do you so much good. Like, you're going to, even just that, even just denying yourself some material things in order to advance the kingdom, in order to share God's mercy, in order to share his goodness and faithfulness with those around you, to go and make disciples, all the things, that is going to be such a more satisfying life than the pursuit of material possessions and the pursuit of money.
And there's an interesting fine line here. You may have heard of prosperity theology.
Right.
This kind of a gross teaching that you give to get. And if you give God $10, he'll give you $100.
A Mercedes.
And yeah, and it's just, you know, and people use it to manipulate people to give money
right.
to their,
and that's icky
their
and
ministry,
awful.
Their church.
Yeah.
But you can run too far away from that.
Right.
Because the truth is God does bless people who give. And I've heard people say, it's not a Bible verse, but I've heard it in my life and in people's experience, you can never outgive God. Mm-hmm. Or the God has a bigger shovel. And I just got a precious text message today from a widow in our church. And she had read the Engage God Daily and was so touched by it. And she said, she lives part of the time now in this area and part in another state and with other relatives. And she's older. And she said, I now am tithing at two churches. And there are thousands more in my checkbook. And you can never outgive God. And I know that she and her husband, when they were married, bought a property, and she's now selling it. And it's worth, I don't know, three times what they purchased it for. And she is saying, look what God's doing in my life. And she and her husband, when he was alive, were incredibly generous people, given their level of resources. And it made me smile so big mm-hmm. to read that text from her. And I thought, she is honoring God, making God smile. She's so happy, and she's making me happy.
Yeah.
And that's what giving does. It creates this cascade of smiles and joy when you give. You bless other people. You show mercy. You show God's goodness to someone who needs what you're giving. You honor God. You advance his mission. And you find joy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I love how sensitive and kind Jesus is with people in the Sermon on the Mount when he talks about this, and he talks about the lilies of the field and the birds in the air and how, you know, God sees you, he cares for you. And I think ultimately, if we can trust in that, it will also help us be more free with our money.
That's right.
Because if we genuinely believe that God cares for us and that he's going to see to our needs, And you know how often he sees to our needs? It's usually not that a check appears in the mail That'd be cool, but that's not usually how it happens. I'm sure it does.
Yeah, I've had it happen.
But a lot of times it's through other people. And so what I love about the God's economy and the way God's economy works is that you get the blessing of giving to other people who then get the blessing of receiving something that ultimately comes from God and shows God's That's care right. for them as well as your care for them. And it's just this like beautiful cycle of giving and receiving and love flowing between us that is just precious. And I think it's such a witness to what God's kingdom is like. And it is God's kingdom.
And it is joy. And giving is so associated with joy. And I like a second word you mentioned, which is faith. And it's faith that overcomes the fear that mm-hmm. holds us back from giving, which prevents us from experiencing all the joy we could.
Yeah.
And like you said, giving leads to freedom from greed and consumerism to set us free from chains. So giving leads to freedom. Giving brings joy. Giving builds faith. It takes faith to give. And when you give, you grow your faith.
Yeah. And so tell everybody, and look, we're kind of skipping ahead, but we're going to have some guests on the podcast, so we may not get to all this anyway. But tell everybody what the Malachi challenge is.
Yeah, Malachi gave a challenge. It's Malachi's own challenge. It's the last book in the Old Testament, worth reading, challenging, and he's prophetic. He's speaking a challenging, and it's the only challenge like this, I think, that God gives us.
Yeah.
Or he says, test me in this.
Yes.
Which is like, we're supposed to test God. And he says, give and see if I won't give back to you over more and overflowing than you gave to me. And so sometimes in the history of our church, we've said, you know what? We'll issue Malachi's challenge. And it's, why don't you give to God and see if you don't experience more blessing back? It might not be financial.
Right.
But that you would say, boy, I wouldn't. Well,
I don't regret that.
I have never heard somebody tell me they regretted giving to
right.
God.
And that's what's fascinating is I know the cynical among us, and I am sometimes the cynical among us, I'll admit, feel like whenever church starts talking about giving, we're doing it in a self, we're doing it for ourselves, right? Because you and I get paid by the church and we right. need people to give or we don't get paid. And so it can feel very self-serving to talk about this. But what I love is that frequently when you have been obedient to talk about this and people go, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to trust what the Bible says. I'm going to give to God. Then you don't hear people come back to you mad at you. Do you?
No, I hear people come back and say, thank you. And they start telling me these amazing stories of I gave to God and then this happened and I gave to God and then this happened and you wouldn't believe this, Bruce. And it's just these. And their smile is ear to ear.
Yeah.
And I gave and you wouldn't believe this person received it. And I had no idea that they needed it just in that moment. And it's just amazing.
Yeah. And so when Bruce says, he's talked about this a lot. And I know that because I went through my files and I looked at all the study guides I had written on this topic. And there's quite a few over the years. But you've talked about this a lot. And I genuinely believe what you say, which is that you're not doing it for yourself or the church. You're doing it for people.
That's right.
Because it really will help them to take a really good hard look at how they spend, what they spend on, what they give, and just think deeply about your relationship with money.
And really, it will bring freedom. It will bring joy and it will increase faith.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, you've got two more on this. You're going to talk about
to whom did she give and how much?
And how much? And I think we might get to some of that in future podcasts.
Okay.
We do have some fun guests coming.
Great.
So we'll do that, because I think you said you did this recently with a group of people, the study.
Mm-hmm.
And you said everyone kind of went with why give. That was fine. The to whom do you give, little discussion about that, but everyone kind of agreed.
No, that was a lot of discussion.
A lot of discussion on that. Okay. But you said the spiciest one was how much?
Probably so.
Lots of discussion on how much. So what we would encourage you to do is talk to your family about this, talk to your life group, talk to your kids about this.
Important conversation. These are great, meaningful conversation.
Great, meaningful conversation, and a great way to teach your kids early. And you know, these conversations are gonna be hard to have with your spouse, but we just, you know, you've been talking about sex. You might as well talk about money with
your
spouse.
That's right. Might as well.
You know, just knock off all those tough topics before Christmas.
We're just trying to, you know, enrich the counselors in our area.
No, we're really not. We really want genuinely for people to let the Spirit help them with these issues.
Really, and to strengthen you and to strengthen your marriage, because frankly, not putting these issues on the table does not help your marriage.
No.
They just yes, you should do them wisely and well, but you do want to talk about these issues.
Yeah, you cannot lock them in a closet somewhere and pretend they don't exist.
You want to be on the same page about money.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bruce, why don't you pray for us?
Okay. God, thank you for the privilege of giving. Thank you that you give to us most of all. And thank you for everything you've entrusted to us. And we pray that you would give us your heart, the heart of a giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We will see you back next week.